Let's grab our Bibles and let's get going, okay? Today, we're going to continue a series that we've been doing for a while. And I'm going to say this, okay? God led us to this series on love, the power of love, and what love can do in your life. Several months ago, He started preparing this in our heart. And as we studied and as I labored over what it was He wanted to say through this series, what He wanted us to do with these messages, and when it was that He wanted it to happen, It didn't come early, it didn't come late. I believe it came right on time. And I was sharing with our pastors this morning, our prayer group this morning, our small group of men that meet together every Sunday morning and pray for you and pray for the services, that it amazes me how God had already put in order the structure that was going to be needed for the times that we're facing. And every sermon in this series on love has been right on time with current events. The one on unity, the power of love produces unity, comes right after we have an election that divides our nation. Last week we talked about that power that changes, and the week before we talked about that. We're talking about different things that God wants to do with that power. And then today, it's no accident that we're looking at the power of love, another produce of it, another product that it brings into our lives, is stability. And we're in a moment of chaos. We're surrounded by disaster. This morning, I share with you all the time, I've made good friends with Jamie at Dunkin' Donuts. And every Sunday morning, I go through to get a cup of coffee, and mainly just to see him. And we sat there and we talked for about 5 minutes. His grandmother, they lost everything in the fire. And we just prayed together, cried together, and just sat there for a moment, ministered to each other and said, "Hey, look, you know, we're here." I gave him my cell phone number and said, "Hey, you know, I let us know what she needs." Our church this week has taken, and we're going to extend it for another week, every bit of the giving. We have e-giving, which is online giving provided through a website. Every dime that's gone into that, we're putting right back into families and communities, churches that have lost everything. We're not keeping a dime of it. It's going right back into the community. And I think we're close to $1,400 raised in this past week. And just be praying. Yeah, it's exciting. You know, but here's the thing. We've decided as a church that when any resource goes out, it doesn't carry the Grace Community name with it. And when we deliver, we're not saying this is from Grace Community Church. Because in all honesty, it's not about us. The name that we're attaching to everything is this: Jesus. God loves you. God hasn't forgotten you. Every resource we give is going to be attached with, this is what God wanted to do in your life to reestablish. And so we've been taking these names, and we've been taking these lists, and we've been writing out what we can do as a community to come behind. And I've told many pastors that I've talked to this week that, listen, the names of our churches need to disappear in times like these. It doesn't need to be about what the First Baptist and what Piedmont and what Grace Community and what, you know, Shady Groves. And it doesn't need to be that. The church needs to have one name, and it needs to be the Church of the Living God. It needs to be Jesus Christ that we're carrying out. And if we do that, if we would come together in that love, it would be amazing what we could simply offer through churches all across this area. Through us. And I look and I say, "God, okay, here, what is it? What I asked you to do? God, what is it that we can do?" And that's why we've been doing it. We've been offering peer support, counseling. We've been trying to get volunteers to go up. Today, we've been raising, we're trying to get board games and movies that we can take to the families, because one of our church members had a genius idea and just went up there for a few hours showing movies and playing games with the kids so that they're not just sitting there thinking about what's happened. You know, I look at it and I'm saying that in our lives, other than just this disaster, across the board, even us sitting here today, the one thing that many of us lack that drives us absolutely crazy, that stresses us out, is stability. To be consistent day by day, moment by moment. Can I tell you something? Your circumstances will never hold a consistent pattern. They will never do that. They're always going to be changing. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. Our lives are not consistent. Our health is not consistent. You know, isn't it amazing that you can get a virus and within 30 minutes it can multiply by millions of cells, and you can be perfectly healthy at the beginning of the day and throwing up your guts at the end just that quick. You can't sit here and rely on the stability of what we know and the stability of what we see, because those things are forever changing. But the Bible says that God never changes. That he's constant. He is secure. He is stable. And I've told people this, I'm going to share it with you today. The one resource that we can all provide that's free for all of us to give, the one resource that is needed, it is actually the one resource that people need, that everybody needs, that will give that constant mindset, that stable life, is love. It's easy. It's love. So let's look at stability. Just real quick. Stability means that I am able, not the verse yet, now I am able to stay consistent no matter the circumstance. That's stability. That even if it's a bad day, I'm still smiling. If it's a good day, I'm still smiling. Even if things are falling apart, I'm still praising His name. And even if I'm on top of a mountain and things are great, I'm still praising His name. If I have hang-ups and hurts and addicts that are addictions that are attacking me, I'm still serving and worshiping Jesus. Or even if I have conquered those things and I'm standing free, I am still serving and worshiping Jesus. Consistency. Not in the circumstance, but in our mind. Sets in our hearts. Love produces that. So it's safe to say that there's three areas that we need stability in. We need it mentally, which is emotionally. We need it physically with our health and other things. And we need it spiritually. Would you agree? Now, can I say this and write this down? The spiritual is the most important. Can I say this? If your spirit's off, everything else is off. Would you agree? Let's just put it this way. Now, I'm not even dealing with Holy Spirit. I'm talking about your soul, your mindset, where you are. Every one of us are spiritual beings today. Now, stay with me. I'm not saying, you know, we're like the stars and all this other stuff that you hear. I'm simply saying this. God created us to last forever. Do you understand? Now, does your physical part last forever? Not at all. Bible says this body's decaying, right? It's going to fade away. All right? But does your spiritual self last forever? You better believe it. You have a soul that will spend an eternity with God or separated from God. Our hope and our mission is that you find His love. Because when you find the love of God, that Jesus Christ sacrifice that God gave, for God so loved the world, He gave His Son. If you find that love, you have an eternity with Him. How many of you understand that? If you don't find that love, then you have an eternity without love. And that is a dangerous place to be. You know, I've done a lot of research scientifically, all right? Now, I'm not saying that I was mixing little chemicals and all that other stuff. Not like that. Research with scientists that have done the research. You say, why are you quoting scientists? Because, you know, I wanted to see something. I wanted to go in. I know what God says about love. Let's see what they say the effects of love are. And I read a statistic that just blows my mind. They say people that have love in their life have three areas of life that prosper. Now, I wrote them down because I don't want to mess them up. Number one, they have healthier lifestyle habits. All right? In other words, they're not out there being self-destructive with what they're eating and what they're doing. They're just healthier in their lifestyle habits. They're not trying to die. They're trying to stay alive. I don't know any parent that says, you know, I want to die and leave my kids. And I don't know anybody that says, you know, I want to die and leave my spouse. No, when you love somebody, you want to keep living. You want to be there. You want to be providing. You want to be stable. Anybody say, hey, man, I don't want to leave them without. I want to see my kids grow up. Anybody like that? You know, they say when you got somebody or something to love in your life that's motivating you, then you protect your life. Blew my mind. Number two, look at what they said. They said this. They are happier in their personalities. In other words, they're funny. They have joy. They enjoy life. You cannot be in love and be miserable. Now, when that love is absent, now, can I say this, and let's back up, because I'm going to give you a disclaimer. Some of you are sitting there saying, okay, if I just find somebody to marry, then it's all going to be happily ever after. On the day of your wedding, yes, all right? All right, and there are going to be moments that you're on top of a mountain, things are great, but then let's all admit, okay, none of us are perfect. There's moments that our marriage really sucks the joy right out of us, right? Because if things aren't good at home, they're not good anywhere. You know, if things aren't good, you're struggling, your kids are going through something, you carry that with you wherever you go. If you're at odds and ends with your husband, your wife, you carry that wherever you go. It affects your work, it affects everything. But they said when you love someone, you have a more consistent, happier personality. You have a more positive outlook on the world. And the number three, they said, they have a higher success rate in what they do when they're in love. And I look at that, I'm like, okay, they're hitting the physical, mental, and the spiritual. They're hitting it all. And I look at that and I'm like, science, we could save billions of dollars if they would just trust God right off the bat. He's already done the research. He's already proven the method. He's already shown us what love can do. You know, we could save that. However, here's the problem. It's not what the world believes that's affecting us. It's how we believe about love. It's what we see. Because in all honesty, we have people that are pursuing happiness, people that are pursuing success, and people that are pursuing that joy, that health, that lifestyle to where their bodies and minds are physically even healthy. And they're pursuing the wrong things to get it there. All right, can I say this? You know, the Bible, and before we misquote this, the Bible does have that phrase in there that it says, you know, exercise, bodily exercise, it profiteth little. You know, many of us, we quote that as we eat in our ice cream or as we're shoving Oreos down our throat. It's not really what he meant. Exercise is needed, right? It's needed. It actually clears your mind. It actually promotes that spiritual unity. You know, but in there, we look at this and it's saying, God's saying beyond that, there's something deeper needed. Scientists are saying there's something deeper we need in our lives. And it's a connection. It's a reality that we're in this together. A reality that you're not alone. That you're never going to be in a place that you have to go through a valley by yourself. I like how David said, even when I'm walking through that valley of death, that valley full of shadows, I don't have to fear the evil. Why? Because you're going with me, God. We're together in this. And I look at what's going on and I think, God, there is nothing greater than we need in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, Sevierville, Jefferson County, and all these surrounding Hamblin County where all these people are hurting. God, we need stability. We need that mindset to know it's going to be okay. Can I tell you what happens in all three of those areas when there's a lack? Can I say, when we have a mental disability, or we have I'm not talking a disease type disability. I'm talking a mental lack of stability. When we have that, you know what happens? We get overwhelmed and stressed out. We get scared. You know, when you're sitting there and everything around you is bigger than you, it's terrifying. Anybody say, you know what? I know what that stress feels like. What happens when we're physically not in a good place? Well, you know, we suffer. You know, I've had a problem this week. Holiday candy is out. Anybody realize that? Matter of fact, if you really think about it, there's really never a time that holiday candy isn't out. If it's not Christmas, it's Valentine's Day. If it's not Valentine's Day, it's Easter. If it's not Easter, it's, you know, hey it's just Monday, so we got candy out, you know? But isn't it weird? I don't know about you, but I think that the Reese cups that are shaped like Christmas trees are the best of the year. Now, listen, I'm not advertising for you to go get me these things, okay? I don't need to come in and have... If you bring me Christmas trees, we're donating them, all right? I've donated too much to my cause, all right? But there's one thing this time of year that really calls my name. Those little Lindor truffle things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those little chocolate balls, individually wrapped. They got them in peppermint, milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate. And they come in assorted bags and individual bags. Well, for the past week, you know, we were going through Walmart last Saturday or something. And I bought three, they come in little bags, right? So you think you're going to be okay. All right? And so I bought three of those. We're down to like one left in a week. You say, that's terrible. Yes, it is. My acid reflux at night has been terrible. Normally, I keep a bottle of water on my nightstand. It's been Pepto-Bismol this week, you know. Wake up in the middle of the night, I'm chugging a little bit so I can go back to sleep. You know what my body, and can I tell you this? The only time I ever have acid reflux is when I'm gaining weight. Now, I'm not saying that's the case with you. Some people have it hereditary. But me, I know I'm gaining weight. When I'm losing weight, never have it. When I'm gaining weight, I have it. You know what? Physically, I suffer. When I'm trying to find that fulfillment in other things. My body starts acting up. It starts shutting down. It starts closing off. Then you look at the spiritual side. Man, when you're spiritually lacking stability, your faith is everywhere. How many of you have ever been in a place you put your faith in the wrong things? You know what I mean? You believed that getting that job was going to fulfill you. It was going to make you somebody. You believed that buying that car was going to make you feel like you accomplished something. You believe that if you got married or if you had a baby or if you, you know, and we can categorize it in so many different areas, but we put our faith in something thinking that it's going to give us joy, that it's going to bring us that happiness, that it's going to bring us that constant peace, only to find that the newness wears off of those things, and eventually what we look to fulfill us becomes a key point of stress in our lives. That job gets stressful. The car breaks down. Those things don't work. Matter of fact, write this down, okay? Don't ever forget this. There's a verse in the Bible that we're going to look at. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 17 says this. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into what? Say it out loud. What does it grow into? One, two, three.
God's love.
And you, what does it say? You're strong. It keeps you strong. Keeps you stable. Make sure that when the storms come, you still stand. Make sure that when things aren't going well, you're still able to hold on. It says, hey, listen, when all these things around you are not fulfilling you, if you're rooted in God's love, you'll still be standing there. You'll still be okay, and you'll still know that there's hope, and you'll survive it. You'll make it through. You'll stay constant in the midst of adversities. Can I ask you a question today? Write this down too. What is feeding you? What is driving you? See, you can be driven, in other words, motivated, ambitious, by all different areas and all different things in life. You can be driven by greed. You can be driven by money. You can be driven by sex. You can be driven, fed. You can feel alive as long as you have this. Can I tell you this? With my alcoholic tendencies, that's why I became that alcoholic. I was driven by my buzz, by the feeling that I got. I was numb, and I forgot my pain, and I forgot the things that were going on, only to realize that alcohol, when it wore off, brought more pain. It didn't just take away or heal my physical or my mental, emotional, and spiritual problems. It numbed them. And then when it came back, I had physical headaches. I had shutdown. And you know what I felt like I needed? More alcohol. To make sure that buzz went away. To make sure that pain went away. And I fed my life with it. And it robbed me of everything. Took everything. It left me alone. It left me with nothing. And then all of a sudden God's love shows up on the scene. All of a sudden he starts telling me, hey, I love you. He doesn't say, I love you if you will, and I love you if you'll become. He says, I love you right where you are. And those of you today that are hurting, and those of you today that are struggling, and those of you today that are falling apart, God is not asking you to step up and get rid of anything or to throw anything out. He's saying, I have stepped in, and I'm willing to help you get this clutter out of here. I'm willing to establish you. See, the problem is a lot of us are our joy, our love, our stability is fed from the outside in, and that doesn't work. Matter of fact, have you noticed the unity around here lately? Not in grace, in this community. Never once have I read, now I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but never once have I pulled up CNN and them say the Red Cross is denying us our goods that we're trying to offer. They're saying, don't bring us donations. Everything I've ever seen is them saying, we need, we need, we need. And CNN on Thursday carried a headline for 2 hours that said, the Red Cross says they have no more space to put any donations and they're asking that you stop bringing them. And I thought, man, that's unity. When I went over there Tuesday night to make my delivery, I told them Wednesday night there were young boys, old boys, young girls, old girls, older adults. There were senior citizens that were standing there and the fire halls could not even get their trucks in their bays because there were so many donations flooding in. And I look at that, I'm like, man, that is awesome. You know what's happening? The community came together. We didn't call Utah, and we didn't call Kentucky, and we didn't call Georgia, and we didn't have to call Mississippi, we didn't have to call South Carolina. No, Gatlinburg, and Pigeon Forge, and Sevierville, and Jefferson City, and Dandridge, and Morristown, and all these people, they said, just came flooding in on the very same day they heard the bad news. You know what happened? You hear people saying, we're going to make it because we're together. We're strong together. You know what? The community is feeding its hope from the inside, and that brings stability. Then all of a sudden, reporters show up from North Carolina and other areas, and they start doing these questions where they're trying to blame. Have you seen it? This is your fault that people have died. This is your fault that this, that, and the other. And you know what starts happening? When the outside community starts trying to feed the hope of our community, they bring in hurts and pains. Have we noticed that this week? They bring in that accusation. Now let's put this into life. Your life and mine. When you feed your marriage from the inside out, when you lock the doors and you throw away the key and you say, we're going to figure this out. We're going to make this work. We're going to sit here. We're going to talk. We're going to, you know, I, right now I don't like you. Right now I can't stand you, but I'm not leaving you. And we're going to find a way to get through this. When you go and you look at each other and say, financially, we don't know how, but you know what? We're just going to love each other. We're going to trust God. When you feed your marriage from the inside out, your marriage will survive anything. But when you let that little nagging lady or that man that hates his wife start giving you advice, you're in trouble. When we as a church start trying to use world tactics to get the gospel out there, we're in trouble. But when we just let God work through us and come out of us, we see success. Can I ask you this? Where are you being fed from? Is your joy and happiness coming from outside things? Or is it coming from something in here? If you back up one verse in this chapter, just one, and you go to verse number 16, it says this, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, thank God for that, right? He will empower you with what?
Inner strength.
See, can I tell you this? Only love works on you from the inside out. Anybody that wants you to change because they don't like the way you look, they don't like the way you dress. Listen, I've spent my entire 5, going on 6 years at Grace Community Church hearing people in our church say, we love that you're you. Hearing people outside of our church saying, I can't believe you preaching that. I can't believe you wear that. I can't believe you. Hey, listen, can I say this? I used to do it. I used to put on the show. I used to put on the suit and tie and pretend I never had a problem. Used to stand behind nice, huge pulpits and act like I had all the answers. I used to try to be what everybody else thought a pastor should be. And I hid that I had my own hurts. And I hid that I had my own struggles. And I hid that I, on the inside, was falling apart. And I almost lost my marriage. And I almost lost everything again. Why? Because I was so worried about what everybody else thought that I didn't realize that I was losing myself. And then all of a sudden, God led me out of here, brought me into here, and I'll never forget. The first service I preached, I still put on a button-up and khakis. And then I got to thinking, we're meeting in a warehouse. A warehouse. A storage facility. Nobody walks in there thinking this is going to look good. The people that show up know that this is not pretty. I mean, no other church have I been in my life where there is a huge garage door right in the side of the building with a big gaping hole at the top. Never have I been to a church where we've got those little propane blower heaters running in the balcony. So it kind of sounds like somebody's trying to preach and in the background you just hear, I'm thinking, man, if they're here, it's because they don't care about what it looks like. They don't care about what it sounds like. They don't care. They're just here because they love Jesus. They love people. And I'll never forget, the first Sunday I wore pants that were blue jeans. I beat myself up the whole way to church. I walked in there thinking somebody's going to get upset. When nobody said anything, I tried to go without a collared shirt. And when that happened, you know what ended up happening? My life story just started pouring out. It's almost like God opened up and said, if you're just you. And I remember my parents, listen, I was raised in a church and we were taught that if people know our weaknesses, they'll use them against us. And I'm going to say that that is a lie from Satan today. Because when you expose your weaknesses, people run to you. We see that in Gatlinburg today, do we not? They say, hey, we know you're hurting. Let's help. And next thing you know, I'm telling a whole congregation I'm a recovering alcoholic. Next thing you know, I'm standing up there on Father's Day, breaking down, telling them about the abuse. That I used to pretend and act like my family was on top of the world. I would even have my dad come in and preach. And I would sit there literally bawling my eyes out the entire time he preached. And people would come up and they'd put their arms around me and say, it's amazing to see how much respect and love you have for your dad. And emotionally, you're just attached to every word he's saying. And I'm sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? The whole time he was talking, I was thinking, why can't you love me like you're teaching them you love? Why can't you be proud of me? I'm not sitting there celebrating him. I'm sitting there dying to be noticed by him. Trying to recover from all that abuse and pain. And some of you have done the same thing. But can I say this? I'm able to love that man today because of the love that you and God has surrounded me with, that started feeding my soul to where it was okay to be me and be who I was and not pretend that I was something else, to be fed from here instead of to be fed from here. And what I hear and what I see. What's feeding you today? Because if it's outside in, you're gonna find some pain and you're gonna find some hurt. But if it's inside out, oh man, you're gonna become powerful in Jesus' name. See, I look at this and I realize something. It's unfortunate, and we never want anyone to suffer. But doesn't it seem that in America we have a trend? That when everybody else in the world's getting attacked and we're not, we hate each other. But when something like 9/11 happens, something like happens like what Monday night represented, man, we fall in love with complete strangers. We unify. And out of those ashes rises hope and opportunity. We're seizing that hope. We're seizing that opportunity. And instead of going in there and trying to tell them what they need to do, we're just going to go in there and love. And I'm going to give you three ways today, and we're done. Three ways today that you can have a love that stabilizes and also give a love that stabilizes. It's amazing that the same three ways for you to have it are the same three ways for you to give it. So here it is. Write this down. Number one. Individuality has to be absent for you to have a stable love and for you to give a stable love. Can I show you a verse in Corinthians? Let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 13, the passage of love, we find this in verse number 5. We find the four things, the selfless acts that must be there. When selflessness is present, these are the results. It says, number one, it doesn't dishonor each other. Number two, it is not self-seeking. Number three, it's not easily angered. Number four, it keeps no records of wrongs. What is it? It is love. This is the love passage. And he says, when love is there, you don't ever try to shame someone else. You don't ever try to blame someone else. You don't have problems and point a finger. You see problems and you look for the solution. You try to find that healing. Number two, you don't try to promote yourself over someone else. You're not self-seeking. You say, what do you mean? You know, the Bible says when husband and wife get married, it says, for this cause, the two shall become one flesh. Now, does that mean that they lose their talents, their abilities, their likes, their friends, their families? No. It just means they take all their individual traits that make them as awesome as they are, and they see someone else who has individual traits that make them awesome, and they say, let's combine our powers. Let's get together. My family is your family. Your family is my family. My pain is your pain. Your pain is my pain. My money is your money. Your money is mine. My debt is your debt, and your debt is mine. We're in this together. And we're going to make it. And we're going to survive it. And it's not about if I get more for Christmas than you. It's about making sure that you feel the same love that I feel. Can I tell you this? It's the self-seeking part that destroys our marriages. Would you agree? Matter of fact, remember this. At the middle, at the focus of every argument you've ever had is selfishness. You want to be right, your pride or stubbornness get in the way, or you just forcing your method, selfishness. And if you remove selfishness, you remove arguments. Are you with me? Can I tell you this? If we're going to see healing in this area, we can't sit here and say they should have done, it should have happened, because you can't go back and change anything. And if you want to heal in your own life, you can't sit there at 34 years old and say, well, my dad and my mom didn't. It's not about what they didn't do. It's what about you're not willing to do. What are you not willing to step up for? You know what I love about my life? Is I can't take credit for it. I can't point at others who deserve credit for it. I know that only God could do something that's happened like this in my life. Only God could make me somebody today. Because I did everything I could to make sure that I was nothing. And yet he did everything he could to make sure that I was something. And today I look at it and I'm saying, hey, if we're going to rally, if we're going to be there, if we're going to do this, then we cannot go in wanting credit for it. And we cannot go in hoping to grow our church. We cannot go in hoping that our name makes the news. Matter of fact, no, I don't want it there. What I want is an article that says the church has rallied and made a difference because of God's love that He's working through them. Man, I look at it and I'm like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if when Satan shows up with all this blame, we show up with all this forgiveness? If Satan shows up and says, well, they could have and should have, then we can show up and say, it doesn't matter what could have and should have. It matters what we are. And today we are willing to do whatever it takes. We're willing to put together mission teams and go take out trash and go clean up devastation without charging a dime. We're willing to load up our trailers and our trucks. We're willing to take our tools and our efforts and our energies. We're willing to not stand back and just say, we're praying for you. We're saying, hey, we're praying for you. And as we were praying, God gave us the answer. And here is the answer. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. What do we need to do? We're here. Number three, it says in that, when individuality is gone, we don't get offended. We're not easily angered or provoked. Write this down. Never forget it. When someone or something can offend you, you have given someone or something a place of authority in your life that they should never have. What do you mean by that? I mean this. If someone can really radically change your mood for the entire day, then there's a good chance you've made what they think your God. If someone can say something to you that keeps you from going to work, then you have made them your boss. If somebody can do something in your home that makes you want to get a divorce, then you've made them your husband or wife. You've made that thing the place of power in your life. And I'm going to say this. If God is the focus of your life, you are not easily offended. If love is your motivation, if love is feeding you, then it doesn't matter whatever people say about you. Can I say this? It doesn't matter if everybody tells you you're dog ugly. There's going to be one person that thinks you're beautiful, thinks you're handsome. Everybody else can think that you're nothing. And there's going to be, out of 7 billion people in the world, that one person that walks in the room and loses their breath and their heart skips a beat because you're in that room with them. You say, well, I just don't believe anybody can love me like that. Well, then, can I tell you, can I introduce you to God? God loves you like that. And He's the one in control of creation. And God has definitely put somebody on this earth to fulfill you. Can I say this? I'm not just talking marriage either. God's put friends on this earth to get you through. Why? I don't have any friends. Well, there's a simple solution. Well, nobody likes me. Okay, Eeyore, listen. Come on, listen to me. All right, you with me? If you don't have friends, it's because you're not friendly. You say, what do you mean? If you want friends, be happy, be nice, go into a situation, be outgoing. You say, well, I'm not an outgoing person. I'm not saying stand up there and give a speech or be at the door. I'm saying look for the person that nobody's talking to and talk to them. Well, what if they're weird? Hey, listen, you're just as weird. Am I right? Nobody's talking to you either. Right? Sometimes it's let's get our powers together. Sometimes it's I like your weirdness. Let's get that together. You know? You play video games? Great, so do I. Oh, they're so weird. Well, hey, you're happy playing video games. Why do they think you're weird? Am I right? We say it all the time. Awkward won't kill you. Matter of fact, awkward will lead you to your greatest moments. Every first job interview is awkward. Every first kiss, awkward. Every first moment when you walk up to get a phone number, awkward. And if you let that awkwardness keep you from it, if you're fed from the outside in that fear of, what if I get rejected? What if they say no? Then you'll never get the number. You'll never have the kiss and just forget it. But how many of you, can I just be honest, can we talk about envy a little bit today? How many of you have ever looked at the person with the outgoing out, that just, they have no filter, they could care less what anybody else thinks, they just have fun and thought, I wish I could be like that? Anybody ever had that moment? Yeah, I have. And then I look at it and say, well, what's keeping me from it? What is? Can I tell you this? When there's love feeding your life, you do not care what other people have to think. Some of you, you might not like me. And I love you. And yes, your opinion matters. But your opinion does not matter when it comes to what I do. It does not matter when it comes to what I preach. I think you should preach like this. I think you should preach like that. Well, I'm glad you're thinking. But that's all I'm glad about because nothing else is changing. The truth is this. I can only be me. That's the only way I can be successful and happy in life is to allow myself to be who I am. And sometimes I talk very fast. Anybody agree with that? I'm part-time rapper. Can't help it. You don't believe it? I throw down in the shower. I mean, I'll walk into our bedroom sometimes and say, Jordan, what do you think about this rhyme? Let me throw a lyric at you. I mean, I got my Taylor Swift rap songs where I'm all against everything, you know? You say, what about, you know, she comes in with all her breakup love songs and all this other heartbreak stuff. I come in with my raps. Be like, don't forget my name. You know, all these other things. And Jordan's looking at me like, what are you talking about? You know? You say, well, listen. I don't want to be a robot. I wasn't created to be a robot. Neither were you. I want to be alive. I want to have those moments. I was looking at my son turn 3 Friday. I want to have those little moments of things he did that I never forget. I want to one day look at my 18-year-old and remember when he was 2 years old and we were chasing each other around the house. To where you could say certain words and his face just light up. That doesn't happen when I'm living in this depression of what everybody else thinks and what everybody else says. It doesn't happen when I'm fed from the outside in. You know, that means that sometimes I got to say no. Like yesterday, I really wanted to help put that plastic on the wind tunnel. But Jordan had scheduled for Lincoln to go on a train ride for his birthday on Saturday. And so I sent Pete a message saying, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm not going to be there. Why? Because can I tell you this? There's something about Lincoln that just feeds me from the inside. How many of you look at your kids and your heart just pounds in your chest? Anybody like that? I've seen some of you give your daughters away. I know it's true. I've seen the way you looked at the guy. The threat in the eyes. Right? You say, listen to me. Listen, church. When God sits on the throne of my heart, what you say doesn't affect my mood. It doesn't affect my calling. It doesn't affect yours either. When God's on the throne of your heart, you cannot get offended. And you're only going to get anger at the right things. The Bible says we should hate evil and what it does. But when you start putting your ego on that heart, you're going to get offended by everybody. I can't believe what they said. I can't believe what they did. You know what? That's not love. Love doesn't think like that. And then here's the last thing. Love doesn't write down everything you did wrong. And love doesn't throw in your face all your mistakes. Love doesn't hold it over your head. Love doesn't look at the mayor of Gatlinburg and say he should have. Love doesn't look at the first responders and say they should have. Love doesn't look at the election people and doesn't look at the people around us and say, well, they did this and they did that and they believe this and they believe that. Love says this, I don't care if you were wrong or not, you still deserve happiness in your life and I'm going to love you. Paul said, listen, when there's unbelievers living in sin, you should not take yourself out of the world. He said, you should not remove yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, he says, hey, you don't do that because they don't know and they need to know. So what happens is love comes in and says, instead of showing you what you did wrong, let's make it right. Let's build this up. Let's fix this. Instead of telling our kids how terrible they are, let's tell them how they can be better than they are. Instead of building up all the wrong ideas of how we should argue, instead of tearing our husband down to where he doesn't even feel like a man, or telling our wife down to where she feels like she's worthless, let's start building them up and telling them what we think and know and see that they truly are. A lot of times we argue and we label people based on their circumstances. And you and I know something about circumstances. They do not last forever. And they are not what their circumstances are. They are who God declared them to be before He even made them. They are His. He loves them. He created them, fashioned them, formed them. And they have a purpose and a plan. And we need to be feeding that. That's what love does. It takes individuality and it makes it absent. Number two. We want a stable love, we got to be present. One of the girls from church called me and said, I don't know what to say to these people. I don't know what to do. There's hurt on all their faces. There's brokenness. And if you've been to any of the shelters, that's exactly what it's like. And I said, it's not, honey, listen, call me. I'm going to give you some advice. Here it is. Don't try to understand. Don't sit there and say, I know how you feel. Don't give them the story of your pain. Don't sit there and say, one time this happened in my life. Don't try to make it seem like you understand how they feel, because we don't. We have no clue. And even if your circumstance is similar, you have no clue what's going through the mind of someone else. But there is one thing you need to do. Just be there. And if they cry, that's a good sign to start praying. Just put their arms around them and ask them, can I pray? Can I say this? Yeah, you know, sometimes people don't need you to give them advice on how to stop crying. They just need you to cry with them. Sometimes they don't need you to give them answers. They just need you to listen. They just need to get it off their chest. Even God says it to us. If you're laboring and you've got a heavy load, come to me. He said, and I'm going to give you rest. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the plan. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the answer. He says, I'm just going to let you rest. And he said, and then I want you to take my yoke upon you. And I want you to learn of me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, okay, I'm already in the yoke of your life. In other words, I'm already the mule on this side, pulling forward for something great to happen in your life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in my yoke, because the yoke was built for two animals to share the load. And he says, I'm going to lighten this for you. Trust me. And I just firmly believe the church needs to be at a place in our adversities, and we need to be at a place with you in your marriages and in your sorrows, your surgeries, the things that you're hurting, where we make a statement that says no one should ever have to cry alone. No one should ever have to be alone. Nobody should go through it alone, because we believe, number one, God is there. Do you believe that today? Matter of fact, let's look at some verses that prove it real quick. It says this in Deuteronomy 31:6, so be strong and courageous. Why? Don't be afraid. Don't panic. For the Lord your God will personally, he will go ahead of you. He will neither fail nor abandon you. Are you thankful for that today? You know what? You want to be an on fire person that's bringing stability into other people's lives? Tell them this. We will not leave you alone. We will hurt with you. We will stand with you. We will fall with you. We will cry with you. But we're going to be there. I like Philippians 4:13. What's it say? I can do all things, everything through Christ. Who what? Gives me strength. How many of you are thankful today that you're never alone in this life? Anybody like that? So number one, we got to let them know that God's going to be there. Number two, we got to let them know that because of that, so are we. Look at this, if you would, real quick. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, we did a whole series in this already about these four choices that love makes. So I'm not going to break them down, but let's read it together out loud. Ready? Here we go. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures. What does those four choices say that it does? It gives us stability. See, can I tell you this? When you have something, you realize you're not alone. You realize that God's with you. When you give something, you realize that it is our job as the church to be there in disaster, to be there in time of need, to go all over the world and tell people there's good news and hope that Jesus Christ loves them. And number three, all right, let's review. Number one, we take these individual mindsets and we make sure they're absent. Number two, we make sure we're physically present. And number three, we believe. We have faith. We trust that God keeps his word. Can I say something to your marriages today? And I don't know who's struggling here, but I just feel somebody is in their marriage. Can I just say this? The Bible says in the very beginning, when he brought Adam and Eve together, when God himself stood as the minister and married those two, there's this phrase that says, what God has put together, let no one tear asunder. Then he goes on in the New Testament and he says, what can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Then he goes on in that Ephesians chapter, he says, hey, I want you to understand how wide, how deep, how long, how high. I want you to know just how awesome my love is. You cannot run it. It lasts forever. You can't go far. You can't get too big of a problem that God cannot solve it. I like that song. If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I know my brothers, I know my sisters, he can carry you. He's got you. But if there's ever been a verse that I think we need to claim in our churches and in our area today, it's found in Isaiah. Will you read it with me? And in Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3, we find this. To all who mourn in Israel or severe count, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. Every time I see these pictures of things torn down, I think, most of the time when something gets destroyed, it gets built back better. I was talking to some economic guys. I was talking to some realtors. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, we are not saying that it's good that people suffered, but we are saying this. From a realtor standpoint, from an economic view, natural disaster creates a thriving economy. Here's why. What used to be a $200,000 cabin will now get built back to be a $500,000 to $1 million cabin. What used to be a one-story hotel will probably come back at least 3 or 4 stories high. And I look at this and I think to myself, hey, listen. What trials Satan has put in your life financially, what he's put in your life with your marriage, your job, what you think has been totally destroyed and robbed from you, there is one constant truth that we find about God in every story from Genesis to Revelation. Every time Satan showed up to destroy, God took that devastation and did something incredibly beyond what anybody imagined could be done. Something beautiful came. And today there's a crown of beauty that's going to surround those ashes. And I'm going to tell you this now. I believe one day we'll go back to Gatlinburg and we'll forget that this ever even happened. No, we won't forget the pain and devastation, but we'll look around and that beauty is going to be there. Goes on and it says, hey, a joyous blessing instead of mourning. Hey, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be in an amazing trees and burnt down, but they'll be great oaks. I'm like this. That the Lord has planted for His own glory. I don't know what you're going through today. Whether you're listening, watching online, we've been estimating that every service that we put out is reaching somewhere between 3,000 to 4,000 people a week. Online and through this download. And I look at that and I know today that whether you're sitting here or listening, some of you are going through what you think is the valley of shadows that is very, very hard to go through. Can I tell you this? God's love will not fail you. And we so believe that. We say this, call us. If you have needs, call us. See, I believe my God does have the resources. And right now, we may not have them in our account, but they will be there in your time of need. I guarantee you. If you need support, call us. And I'm not just saying spiritual support so we can pray for you. I'm saying that I so trust the people around you that we'll be there. How many of you say, hey, look, we'll be there materially, physically, financially. Whatever God calls us to be, we're going to do. Would you slip your hand out? They're there. But to you whose marriages are falling apart, to you who are sitting today and you've lost your jobs, to you that are in despair, don't lose faith. Why? God always, always, always restores. The cross was meant to destroy, and yet it brought us back to life. And I look at you, and I look around this room, and I'm saying this. Some of you need to look into your own heart and say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Fill me with your love so that I can love my wife the way I need to, so that I can love my husband the way I need to, but for greater than anything, God, so that we can bring stability into our own mindsets, our own physical bodies, our own spiritual states, and God, may that stability spread through this nation. Bow your heads and close your eyes and no one look around. Today, I wonder how many of you are here. That no, we're not just talking about the fire, and I know many have been affected, but in your life, there's been some chaos of late. In your mindset, there's been some worry, some stress. You're burdened, you're hurting. Is there anybody here today that says, you know what, Brother Josh, that stability, I haven't had it in my life lately. Would you slip your hand up? All right, come on, be honest. They're all over. I'm not going to ask to individualize the circumstances. Some of you, it could be your addiction, your marriage, whatever. Can I tell you this? You got to know the promises of God. You got to know that He loves you. And God never intended once, not once in your lifetime, was His plan inclusive of pain and suffering. No, by one man's sin, the Bible says, that entered the world. And all of us have been affected because sin totally changed God's design. And I'm not saying that you're living in sin. No, you might be, but I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying that you're in a world that's polluted with sin. And that sin, the Satan that thrives in it, that goes after you with it, he's looking to destroy your life. But I'm saying there's hope today in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power today in the love that he has shared. And if there's ever been a time in America, in our area of the world, that we need the love of God, it's today. And my question is, do you know Him? If you sit there and you say, yes, I do, the next question is, then what's feeding your life? What's driving you? I told somebody the other day, if you're going to survive this, you've got to be in God's Word like you've never been before. Even greater, you got to get God's Word in you like it's never been before. We need people to rise up and be people of faith today. We need men, guys, listen to me, that rise up and become the spiritual leader that God's called you to be in your home. We need ladies that rise up and become that godly woman that He's inspired you to be. To raise our children, husbands and wives, to work together to secure the home in Jesus' name. To bring stability to our lives. If you think your finances are going to bring stability to your children, you're sadly mistaken. Because there's things that they're going to go through that finances can't touch. God brings that stability. And I wonder how many of you are here today that say, I need to be more like Him. I need His love more driving me than it does today. God, help me. Would you join me? That's my prayer. God, help me to let love be what feeds my actions, my physical actions, my mental and emotional thoughts, and my spiritual faith. Is there anybody today that stand to your feet where you are saying, God, help me? I want to be your hands and feet. I need to be driven by your love. God, help me to bring stability to those that are around me. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet right there? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. God, help me to bring stability to those that are around me. I'm going to ask Glenda to come play just softly. There's many of you standing, and I'm going to just say this. There's enough standing on their feet right now. You can make a difference. Whether it's volunteering, being a part of Celebrate Recovery, helping those that are struggling within their own selves, or whether it's going in and helping us clean up after devastation, whatever it is, you can make a difference. And I believe now more than ever, we need people that are willing to let the love of God be the motivation of the difference we're trying to make. Right now, where you stand, you're going to need God's strength. You're going to need God's power. You're going to need His restoration. Some of you that are sitting there today with struggling marriages, you need restoration more than resolution. Stop trying to figure out why you hate each other and just start choosing to love each other. Stop figuring out every argument you've ever had. Stop trying to figure out everything that's gone wrong and just pick up where you are. Pick up right where you are and say, we're going to move forward. We cannot understand the tragedies that we've seen in our society. We can't. But we can pick up the broken pieces and we can take them to a God who's an ultimate healer. And we can say, God, we don't understand this. We don't know why this happened. But we do know that you can work all things together for good. You can bring it back together. So God, be the healer of our nation. Be the healer of Gatlinburg. Be the healer of Pigeon Forge. God, be the healer of our homes. Let's pick up the pieces. And let's give them to the one that knows how. So right there where you stand, you're going to need Him. You're going to need to get self out of the way. You're going to need to say, God, put me in the places you need me to be. And then you're just going to have the faith sometimes to do what he's called you to do, even when you don't know or understand what's going on around you. So I want you to bow where you are and just pray. We're going to sing a little song. If you want to join us, let's do it. But if not, whatever the case, you find the love that never fails, the love that endures every circumstance.